Alrighty, welcome back everybody to the Trade Raiders Podcast, the comic book club where we read a different trade paperback every single week.
All the time.
I'm Daniel, you're Nathan, we're brothers, we read comics.
We sure fucking do. I'm jazzed today. I don't even know why.
You are?
Yeah.
Is it because of the book we're reading this week?
This book was exhausting. And so
that's why you're so jazzed?
That's why I'm so jazzed. I'm going to get it out now so that I can be exhausted the rest of the time.
Nice.
Because we're doing Infinite Crisis today. I realized I even spelt it wrong on the title of my notes.
Infinite Croissants?
Infinite Croissants.
We got, that's one of our time codes. We got other time codes like Back Matter Matters and the poll list.
Yep.
But we start with the news. Got to keep you on track, you know?
Big week for news, Daniel.
Yeah, I know. Pretty hefty week.
Lots of stuff.
Lots to discuss.
That we're going to tell you right now.
Nathan, American-born Chinese canceled after one season.
Oh, I figured it was just like a limited series thing.
Yeah, you'd think they'd finish the book.
Yeah, it's not like super long.
So maybe they're just being dramatic. It felt like they're kind of dragging the episodes out, you know, to fit like the...
Did you watch it?
I watched like one or two episodes.
Oh, okay. Didn't they finish all of it or no?
I didn't finish it, so I don't know really.
Okay. We got... Maybe we knew this already. Did we know that Ram V was doing a book called Dawn Runner?
Dawn Runner?
Dawn Runner with Evan Cagle and Dave Stewart for Dark Horse.
No, that's cool.
I feel
cool,
like, though. This is something I maybe knew about, but yeah, Evan Cagle is a really good artist, and so I'm excited to see him on like a full book. So then we also, another new series, have Ed Brisson on The Displaced, and it's with Casa Languida and Dean Cuniff and Hassan Oatsmane Elhow. And it's the city of Oshawa, Ontario, and its 170,000 residents have vanished without a trace no one remembers even existed. Those who remain must seek each other out if they hope to survive in a world where no one believes they ever existed at all.
Yeah, I didn't know they'd ever existed, so it's a very accurate book.
I didn't know that Oshawa was a place, so we must be living in it right now. Maybe it's a documentary.
Ooh. That's cool. That sounds neat. What's that coming out through?
That is Boom Studios.
Oh.
So good to see Ed Brisson doing stuff. Also, the next installment of the Bone Orchard mythos.
There's more of that?
With Jeff Lemire and Sorrentino, called Starseed. And it's coming 2024, he said. So later this year, I guess.
Hmm. All right.
So I think that was the space one, but I'm not sure.
And this news is kind of more for us. But Gerard Butler is to reprise his role in the live-action How to Train Your Dragon movie.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Wait, there's going to be a live-action one?
Yeah, apparently.
Whoa.
And he's going to be the dad.
That's perfect.
Yeah. He's
perfect for that role.
He already is.
Oh, my God. That's funny. Is he the only person to do that?
Like, no, the Cabbage Man from Avatar The Last Airbender is also playing the Cabbage Man.
In the new show?
In the live action show, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Perfect
and then,
casting.
And then The Rock is going to be...
Oh, Maui.
Maui, thank you.
Yeah.
Big, big, big news. Ed Brubaker's Criminal ordered to series by Amazon with Jordan Harper to help. I don't know who that is. And it's going to be... Big show.
Shout out to Dinger for letting us know.
Yeah, thanks, Dinger. I think I had seen it like 5 minutes before you sent it to me, but I still appreciate the update, and I'm glad that you're excited about it as much as we are.
Yeah.
Apparently it's being...
Sean Phillips liked his tweet about that.
Yeah, I've never gotten a Sean Phillips like.
Yeah, I know.
Dinger. Maybe wait for me next time. Apparently, like right after the writer's strike, it was put in as like one of the things that they're going to be focusing on, like expediting it or whatever.
Hmm.
So it's going to be something that we should see fairly soon. So I'm very excited about that. Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, a comic book license renewed by IDW.
Probably good.
So that's cool. And then the 150th issue has a sweet connecting cover drawn by Jesse Lonergan. So I don't know if you saw that one, but
it's no,
like,
way.
This big thing. And then it goes all the way this way with all the freaking TMNT characters.
So it's a wraparound cover?
It's like a wraparound cover, yeah.
Ah, okay.
So
when you say connected, I'm like, oh, so you got to connect like three different covers.
I think that's the correct term or correct way to use that term. But yeah.
That seems wrong. Nathan, we're getting a Mandalorian and Grogu movie.
Yeah. I thought that was weird.
That seems unnecessary because we have 30 hours of them already.
But now they're like solo You know, they're not trying to go to save Mandalore or figure out where he goes. And so now they have nothing to do. And that's when you want to do a movie?
I don't know. It seems pointless.
I think
Grogu shouldn't even be there.
I think it'll be fine. But I think the promo image that they used was AI generated. So I'm not stoked about that, but I'm not sure.
Well, it might not even be like something super official, like announced.
Star Wars, the account tweeted it.
Oh, okay. So it wasn't like concept art?
It's probably concept art because they
made
just,
by AI.
But I think it was made by AI. So
speaking of Star Wars, Ahsoka renewed for season 2.
Yeah, that was interesting too.
Didn't finish that, but
I watched the first 2 episodes. Thought it was pretty okay.
Yeah,
Daniel, porn sack Pichichote. Hold on, he has a pronunciation on his Twitter. I'm going to look it up.
Is it like Pichichote?
I will tell you in just a moment.
Or Pichichote?
It is porn sack Pichichote.
Yeah.
Pichichote.
Nice. That's handy.
Yes. Thank you for doing that. He's starting a new book called Man's Best with Jesse Lonergan, one of my favorite artists right now, which is pretty exciting.
Mm-hmm.
And it's coming in March, and it's going to be Homeward Bound in Space.
There's dogs in it.
There's dogs, and they go to space, Daniel.
It's going to be great.
What more could you want?
Nothing.
They have little jetpacks strapped to them.
Adorable.
It's great. So I can't wait for that. What else we got?
Aiden.
Yeah.
Big news.
What is that?
Dogpool confirmed to be in Deadpool 3.
Oh, cool.
There's a picture of Dogpool giving Deadpool a little kiss on the official Dogpool account.
Oh, wait. The official one?
The official... Cool. Dogpool Instagram.
What's the over-under, you think, on Panda Pool showing up? The best pool.
I'm going to go under.
You got to go
I
under.
Don't think they're that cool.
You don't think Panda Pool's that cool?
No, Panda Pool is that cool.
Oh, but you don't think they are that cool?
They're not that cool.
Do you have a Panda Pool in here somewhere?
Yeah.
Is it a... You even know where half of your shit is in this room.
It's over there.
What is it? Is it a pop?
It's a Panda Pool pop, yeah.
Oh, cool. Yeah, that would be nice.
So, yeah, I mean, I think with this, I'm like, dang, maybe they're doing like Deadpool Incorporated, you know?
I think some version of that, probably.
They got to do like
Lady Deadpool. They're doing some weird multiverse thing, which it seems like they are. There'll probably be some ridiculous thing about a Deadpool verse.
Because if you think about it, like X-Force didn't really work out last time he did it. So I feel he feels like the... Maybe the only people he can depend on are like himself, you know, but in other multiverses.
That checks out.
Yeah. So, yeah. Pretty cool.
Daniel, bad news for us.
Oh.
We could never win an Eisner now because the Eisners dropped journalism as a category for 2024.
Fuck.
Which is tough for us because now we're going to have to do something else to get an Eisner.
I guess make comics.
Yeah. Damn it. You got us again. Or be a judge. I'll still apply. Let's see if we get in. But yeah, I guess they did it because it's like kind of hard to do proper journalism and like a lot of journalistic things are just on YouTube now.
That was
part of their reasoning, which kind of like makes sense. Like us, real journalists putting in the hard work.
Yeah. They're probably thinking more like writing articles or whatever.
Yeah. Well, I've seen some really cool like comics journalism recently, like panel by panel, I think has always been pretty good.
Is that like a newsletter kind of thing?
It's like a monthly magazine.
Seems like more official, you know?
That's 100% more official.
Than what we do? Yeah.
Yeah.
But I'm just saying like you're making it seem like it's anybody who talks about comics. Seems like it's something physical and those should be the only people that are nominated.
Yeah,
you know?
Exactly.
Panel by panel could be...
I think they have
like a dynasty, you know?
Yeah.
Like Stan Sakai.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, I think like Sketched maybe was up there a little bit.
Yeah.
Or nominated at least. But yeah, makes sense though, I guess.
All righty. What book did we read this week, Nathan?
Daniel, we
one more time for the people in the back.
Read Infinite Crisis by 1,000 people, I think. Mainly Jeff Johns.
By all the people.
Phil Jimenez, George Perez, Jerry Ordway, Ivan Reese as pencilers. There's about 20 inkers, which I'm just realizing now.
Nice.
And then Jerome Cox, Guy Major, the main colorist, it seems. And Nick Napolitano, Rob Lee letters. Daniel, this is easily the most continuity heavy book we've ever read on this podcast.
Nah.
And I kind of love it.
You love how it's continuity heavy it is?
It's fucking nonsense.
Oh, yeah.
The entire way.
It's so fun. I'm like, this is so dumb.
It reaches every single fucking corner of this goddamn universe and puts like 13 panels on every page filled with dialogue about all the shit that's happening.
Like, if I had to pick an episode to show mom and see how fast she would like mentally check out, it would be this one, you know?
If there's ever a comic where I don't want someone to like continue reading comics, I would give them this.
That's fair.
You know, like,
yeah,
they're like, what do you recommend? And I like don't like talking to that person. I'd be like, read Infinite Crisis. Because yeah. I tried reading this like when I first, like within the first year of me reading comics, and it was too much. By like issue two, I was like, what the fuck is going on here? And then I stopped. And now we're reading this because it's the thing before what we're going to do for our 200th episode, which is 52.
Yeah, which has nothing to do with the new 52, I guess.
They just liked that number and then went to new 52 later.
Because there's 52 weeks in a year.
Yeah. But this is a sequel to Crisis on Infinite Earths, which is also a pretty heavy continuity thing.
And I think at the end of 52, Final Crisis happens.
Jesus Christ.
So we could do that for 201.
That would be exhausting.
Oh yeah, my no, God. No, fuck that.
No, but this, like, I think that this is like pretty fun, but
I think once you like kind of get the ball rolling, you know, and you kind of get past like how ridiculous it's going to be, then you start like finding some good stuff in there.
This is such a monumental challenge to try and make a sequel to Crisis on Infinite Earths and like setting that up with like multiple things, because they had like multiple series that were like Countdown to Infinite Crisis, and then they had this. But then within this book, they tried explaining everything that were in those series and all of Crisis on Infinite Earths so that it could all make sense in here. But I think this is a prime example of Jeff Johns, like
Jeff Johnning
for sure, which my definition of that is him discovering some sort of trope or something about the comics industry in general and just creating a reason for why that is within a comic book universe.
Yeah.
And I think that's so sick.
He's just trying to make everything cool.
Yeah. Like, he comes up with reasons for things and, you know, he puts it in continuity, but also he kind of retcons things, but like makes it seem like just a progression of a story rather than just like a retcon. And that's what Jeff Johnning is, baby.
Yeah.
So anyway, there's a lot going on here. I feel like I barely scratched the surface of it because every single page is 13 panels, you know?
Yeah.
And so I just kind of keep it general, but I think I did it okay.
Probably best. Yeah. You definitely don't have to mention everything that happens.
Yeah. So let's fucking do it. Okay. So there's like a lot happens and like not a lot happens. There's, you know, some shit hitting the fan everywhere and it's all being watched by these like silhouetted figures. Watching like a crystal screen, it looks like that's how it kind of starts. So basically, like
that's the DC executives,
yeah, pretty much. There's Dan DiDio and Jeff Johns right there. But basically, the Watchtower is like all destroyed, and we don't know why. But there's also a bunch of OMAC suits flying around. There's a cosmic storm thing that's like displacing planets and like sections of the universe, and the Green Lanterns are trying to straighten that out. But they're also caught in between a Thanagar war. So that's all like happening right now. So like shit's hitting the fan on every corner of the universe. Cosmic shit, yes. Gotham, yes. Like all this crazy shit's happening.
On Earth, Wonder Woman killed a guy.
Yeah, she killed Max. No, fuck. What's his name?
Yeah, you had it.
Maxwell Lord. Thank you. Because of like. He was the one that was manipulating the OMACs, I guess, and killing people with them.
Yeah, and so the OMACs are like connected to like Brother Eye or something.
Which is a satellite in space.
That Batman made.
That Batman made.
Why did he make it?
To look over everything.
Something like that.
But yeah, and the OMACs are just like suits. I don't know. I'm not going to try and explain everything.
That's what we're here for.
Yeah. So the scale of this shit is so big. Like some of these pages are unbelievable. Like this Rand Thanagar war page, it's like it gives me a headache just looking at it, but it's so cool because there's so many like, so many like The Thanagarians.
How do these ships not hitting each other?
I don't know, dude. They're all so condensed. Space is so big. Just spread out a little bit more.
This is like driving another country.
It's fucking crazy. And I just like, I'm looking at this and I'm like, damn, I should really have this physically because I'm reading it on my like 10-inch screen on my phone. You
it's
know?
Not 10 inches.
Like nine. It's like 8 point something,
no,
I think.
No way. That's like a Kindle, dude.
Okay, I'm fucking looking it up right
That's
now.
That's probably like a 6-inch screen.
It is... Oh, 6.6.
Get wrecked.
Okay, you're right. Anyway.
My 10-inch screen.
Crazy.
Well, this is like a 10-inch surface, 10 or 11-inch surface.
I was saying like 10-inch perimeter.
Okay.
In Gotham, we see Shazam pull up to say the Spectre killed the wizard Shazam, and he also destroyed the Rock of Eternity, so that's happening in Gotham for some reason.
Yeah, then it's not a DC event. Unless Uncle Sam is in it for some reason.
Uncle fucking Sam. Why is this guy...
In the Freedom Fighters.
Why is this guy in so much of pre-New 52 DC?
It's just events that Jeff Johns writes.
Dude, he loves this guy. He loves all the weird, obscure characters, though,
give me
an
Uncle Sam trade. Is there one? There needs to be. We can read on 4th of July.
That's a great idea. I doubt there is.
Uncle Sam and the Freedom Fighters, can't think of more American comic in the world.
I think there's probably a Freedom Fighters or something.
It's got to have Uncle Sam in it, because what's the point?
Yeah. I don't know if there... No, there's an Uncle Sam book for sure.
Okay, Freedom Fighters, Rise of a Nation.
It's Robert, a Vertigo book.
Robert Venditti.
Alex Ross was on it.
Oh, you know what? I heard about this.
Whoa. Maybe that's why he likes it so much. I've never heard of this book.
Convergence, Plastic Man and the Freedom Fighters.
Okay. It's a good book. Yeah, dude, the most obscure characters. I'm sure there's characters that are in this book that have never seen the light of day since this book because of how obscure they go.
There's characters in this. I'm like, that's not a real character.
Dude,
they don't have a Wikipedia page. They're fake. They're made up as like filler to make it seem like there's more heroes there.
It's unreal. But yeah, so the wizard Shazam was killed and then the Rock of Eternity got blown up by the Spectre. And you're like, that's weird. I thought he was okay. But in Metropolis, there's a weird ragtag team of D-list heroes that run into a bunch of like A-list villains that are working together. So the Villain Society, I think is what they're called. It's like Sinestro, Black Adam, Tigress, Reverse Flash, Deathstroke, all the big hitters. You
is
know?
That not Cheetah?
Cheetah? Sure. Let's go with that.
Are they trying to make Cheetah sexy?
Yes. I think they're trying to do Sabretooth, but with boobs.
It's too furry.
I think that's what they're going for. But Dana, only Jeff could pull off a crazy transition from the Green Lanterns in the middle of a Rand-Thanagar war to the Riddler in Gotham on the next page.
Yeah.
Like, that is the most...
And it's seamless.
Seamless. It's the most absurd thing.
Wait, who's this guy on the left who's shiny?
Left of what? Oh, on the villain page?
Yeah.
I couldn't tell you.
When did Deathstroke get his, like, modern look? Because this is, like, this is where he's got, like, the cuffed...
Like, what do you consider the modern look?
Like the black and yellow.
Is this he's not got, the modern look?
He's got the blue.
Oh.
You know what I mean?
I don't know. You're a bigger Deathstroke guy than I am.
Maybe it was New 52.
It probably was. Was that the Priest one?
No, Priest was Rebirth. He was on New 52. I don't know. It was fucking cool though.
Yeah. Oh, there's a fisherman appearance. Did you catch that? The weird Aquaman villain, the fisherman?
You know, I read this like a month ago.
Anyway, he's so like right here.
Yeah.
He's fishing somebody up. And I was like, sweet. We even got the fisherman in there. But anyway, on the Watchtower, the Trinity. So Batman, Superman, Wonder Woman fight Mongol. And we also find out Wonder Woman is getting flamed for killing Maxwell Lord. Batman, Superman, and Wonder Woman all like bicker some more. And they split up. So then the silhouette people watching the whole thing decide to step in, and it is like an older version of Superman with a Superboy and some dude we don't know and an old Lois Lane. But we figure out who they are later. But
yeah, just kind of.
There's a line in here that goes
running back
pretty nice.
What's that line?
It was when Superman and Batman were arguing, and Batman says, "The last time you inspired someone was when you were dead."
which
is an insane thing to say to somebody.
He's holding on to that one.
Yeah, he was. He was like, "Oh, enough time. I'm cashing in."
Yeah. I bet Batman has, like, you know, like contingency plans for every Justice Leaguer and also a deep roast for every Justice Leaguer. And that's Superman's. He cashed it out.
A physical contingency plan and a mental one.
Yeah. So who's this like bomb dude who blew up?
The bomb dude who blew up. What page are we talking?
It's right after the Mongol fight. It is page...
Oh, this dude.
Yeah, he's in like a hazmat looking suit and he just rips it off and blows up.
Yeah, I don't know who that is.
Number 23. I don't know. So anyway.
There's a... Oh, Human Bomb is his name. So that's pretty...
Oh, that's probably where I wrote down Human Bomb.
Yeah, okay. Human Bomb.
Interesting.
There's a guy named Polaris. I don't think that's the one that you were referencing earlier, but it could be.
It's a pretty sick band.
Is that a band?
Polaris, yeah.
Oh, nice.
I saw him a few months ago.
Cool.
So Wonder Woman killed Maxwell Lord because Maxwell Lord killed Ted Kord. And so now I'm on Wonder Woman's side.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, Ted Maxwell Lord killed it's like Ted a tongue Kord. Twister. I can't do it.
Maxwell Lord kills Ted Kord?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just doing the first try, whatever.
Yeah. I just got bars.
And so I guess the old Superman had to like punch reality to get there.
Yeah.
Because
there's like an explanation of this.
They're in like a little reality glass ball thing.
Yeah.
Where they could see the realities and he just had a
boom. They basically have like a live stream of everything that's going on in this universe. But this is the version of Superman, Superboy, Superboy Prime, thank you. Alexander Luthor and Lois Lane that went to what was supposed to be kind of like a heaven at the end of Crisis on Infinite Earths.
Uh-huh.
But then Geoff Johns is like, what if they're like still alive and they're like in this little bubble thing that's like outside of reality, but they're still watching and they decide to intervene.
Yeah.
So that's what this is. So a reference to the end of Crisis. But that's pretty much issue one. Issue two, we get an Animal Man appearance.
Let's go.
We never see him again after this, so soak it in now. But he feels that something's up with the animals.
Or do we?
Or maybe we do. I don't think we do.
He's in 52 a lot.
Oh, okay. Well, I'm saying after in this series.
Oh, yeah.
But Animal Man's like, man, the vibes for all the animals are kind of off right now. I wonder what that's about. So then he goes to see Cyborg in space.
Yeah.
And he's like, how can I help? And I'm like, dude, you're in space. There's no fucking squirrels out there that you can like summon. But
real quick, you see this like Cyborg cleavage right here?
He does have. I like this version of Cyborg. Not because of the cleavage.
No, it's super cool. I like when there's like more human parts than just his face.
Yeah. When it's just his face, I'm like, you're just a face on a robot. But yeah. when he has like half of like a thigh, you know?
Yeah.
I'm like, that's a human.
Yeah. Let me see that.
Yeah.
I prefer this over the Power Girl boob window.
Correct.
Yeah.
Better titties. Did they try to explain that one time?
Oh, yeah. Because she's like, I'm not Kryptonian. She rips off her thing.
Yeah. She's like, I'm nothing.
I'm like, shit's sewed as like a, yeah, it's not like a rip.
She pulled off like a sticker. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah, Animal Man goes to space and he goes to New Crocus.
Did Geoff Johns try to explain the boob window?
I don't think so. I thought it was this series where they tried to explain it because she's kind of like a pivotal character. And I thought that would have been funny if we got to talk about it.
Oh, there's Jade in this.
Jade is in this. Yep.
Yeah. Alan Scott's daughter.
Yep. Psycho Pirate's in here. He plays a good role. I was like, I only remember that from Tom King's run on Batman.
Yeah, I know.
I like the animal like man one-liners. Like when he teleports into space, he's like, man, I feel like roadkill. I love that shit. But anyway, the Villain Society tries to kill Power Girl, but is saved by the older Superman from before, who then introduces Superboy Prime and older Lois in like his version of like the Fortress of Solitude. And he explains that what happened in Crisis on Infinite Earths, like pretty much the whole event, and then essentially how Power Girl was displaced between realities after the Anti-Monitor fight. But there's like a full like 6 pages of everything that happened in Crisis on Infinite Earths. And it's pretty crazy.
Yeah.
So a lot of exposition, lots of continuity, but it's kind of interesting how he tries to like weave everything in there.
Yeah. For old Superman, how do you feel about like his underpants having like a belt?
I don't know if I noticed that. Hold on. Let me find it.
That double page.
I think it's kind of cool.
He needs a belt to hold up his underpants.
Like functionally, it's probably like a little bit silly, but I think aesthetically, it's kind of cool.
Yeah, it gives it a little more yellow than normal.
A little more yellow, because normally the only yellow is the logo, but now this kind of gives him some more. But yeah, maybe the belt is for a shirt. because when he's
keep it down,
to keep it down, so that like if he's fighting or flying or something, it's not flopping around.
Like
weird.
That, yeah, it doesn't like rise.
Yeah, exactly. It's a belt for a shirt. You know, he's ahead of his time.
Yeah, now that you mentioned that, I like it now.
Yeah, because it looks like it's above the underpants.
Yeah, but it has like loops. So the underpants have loops.
Shirt loops. No. Oh, the underpants do.
Yeah, like belt loops.
Oh, interesting. Older Superman and Lois, Superboy Prime and Alexander Luthor would watch Earth from a dome that protected them from being erased as a doppelganger. Because I think doppelgangers were erased after Crisis on Infinite Earths, while different versions like Jay Garrick and Alan Scott would stay alive. So if there was, because there's Earth 1 and Earth 2, but since there's like a Bruce Wayne Batman on both of them, only one of them survived in what was the new Earth. That was the idea. But then the offshoots of it, it's whatever. And so it started off great, but then they saw that the hope in the world would turn into darkness as like dark things would start happening to the heroes. And so they kind of referenced like death in the family, the death of Superman, the parallax Green Lantern, all this shit, right? So this Superman decided to step in now to help. And then also Power Girl absorbs the memories of like the Earth 2 Power Girl. So now she remembers everything that they're like talking about, I guess, on their time.
So did you mention that like the multiverse was like created because someone from like one of the Guardians or whatever wanted to see creation?
I read that, but I didn't write that as a note. But yeah, I didn't really understand that.
So he wanted to see like how time started or whatever, and somehow the multiverse was created. I don't know.
I don't understand it. But I really like this explanation of how like old comics, they were like, you know, a little bit more campy. And so,
because there's more hope in the world.
Yeah, because there's, but like they explain it like at that time, there was more joy and hope in the world. And then eventually as comics, as like a medium started to favor like the Dark Knight, or like Watchmen type books, you know, things like that. They eventually started kind of trending more dark storylines because people kind of related to that more. But then Geoff Johns is like, let's make some kind of like, let's weave that into the story because that's kind of interesting, you know?
I guess it's not a terrible way to explain that, but I think that's like too much. I'm like, you don't have to like explain like everything.
He explains like a lot,
yeah,
of like tropes in comics. And I just think it's fun to see him like try. But yeah, and so that's why these versions of these characters are stepping in, because it's like, it's getting too dark, you know? Let's make it a little bit happier
again. Did you notice the Watchmen universe in this?
No, I think I missed that. Is there?
So on this like double page spread, right, where they have like all these, they're at the bottom here, but it's not like the Watchmen. It's like the DC characters that they were supposed to be.
You know, I did see this panel Charleston and I was characters, like, oh yeah, Peacemaker, look at them.
Yeah, Peacemaker, The Question, you know, Ted Kord.
Is Peacemaker supposed to be the comedian?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that. But yeah, that makes sense for everybody else to be there.
Yeah, and then like
Adam Warlock.
Captain Adam.
Yeah, Captain Adam.
And then I think like
a couple more people.
Nightshade or something. I can't remember.
Yeah. So some continuity things. So Booster Gold pops in from the future, but jumps to the wrong time. So he goes to find Blue Beetle. Batman had some involvement with the OMAX being created because of something of his creation that was hacked. And now the OMAX are on Themyscira wiping the Amazonians out because they view Wonder Woman as a threat for killing Maxwell Lord.
Look at this Booster Bulge.
Booster Bulge. Yeah, it's pretty prominent, isn't it?
Yeah, it's very defined.
Yeah.
And it makes it uncomfy.
I think that, is that Ivan Reis drawing it, it seems like?
But yeah, I'd say so.
It's pretty cool, Booster Gold. I like seeing him.
It looks like he's got like briefs on.
Also, I feel like Booster Gold always time jumps to like slightly the wrong time, you know?
Yeah.
He's never like, oh, I'm right where I need to be.
Well, it's like, it's mostly Skeet's fault, I think.
Skeet's pretty smart. I think it's
he's the one that's jumping, you know?
Yeah, that's true. That's true. And then Earth 2 Superman believes that they saved the wrong Earth in Crisis on Infinite Earths because this one is joyless. So he wants Power Girl's help to restore the correct Earth, which is his Earth, so that everything can be happy again. So it's kind of like an interesting reveal for like a villain, kind of, because it's like this older version of Superman that like wants to restore the older glory or whatever.
Yeah.
And so he's not like necessarily wrong that if they could at the same, like if they could at the time have saved Earth 2, it might have been like a lot happier. But like, that's just not how it happened. And so it's kind of an interesting perspective.
Yeah. It's not like he's an evil person. It's just like that his interests conflict with like our heroes.
Yeah. Earth. The result of what he wants is ultimately going to be something that's pretty bad. So
did you pick up that like there's only like five Earths right now at this point?
At this point?
Yeah.
No, I didn't know that.
Okay. I just make notes. I don't know what pages sure. they're from, but
yeah, I mean, that's probably a thing that happened
because I think
that they mentioned
maybe like Earth 2 or 3 are a thing at this point. Or are they from Earth 2?
I think he's from Earth 2 technically.
Okay. I guess every person probably thinks that their Earth is Earth 1, you know?
We're definitely Earth 1 though.
Or I thought, aren't they from like Earth Prime or something? Is that they where also Superboy's mentioned that from? A lot.
And so I think Superboy Prime is from Earth Prime, and I think this old Superman's from Earth 2.
Okay.
But I don't know that for sure.
I think Alexander Luthor's from somewhere else
yeah.
as well.
It's just
it's a ragtag team. Oh isn't yeah.
It's fun and exhausting.
Yeah, it's like a pain in the ass puzzle. The Omax attack Themyscira. I don't know if you said that.
Yeah, I did say that. Okay, cut that out. And like the Omax are a Maxwell Lord creation, I guess. But right now they're being hacked by the Brother Eye satellite that Batman made, and they think that Wonder Woman's a threat, or that they're not being unethical, mm-hmm. or ethical, whatever. So anyway, that's that issue. So much to keep track of. But what I think is interesting is that they realize that there's people inside of the Omax suits, and so the Amazon people like aren't fighting back.
Oh, I thought they were just robots.
No, Omax are kind of like parasite technology in a way.
Right.
Because remember in like Blue Beetle, there's like a person inside of the Omac. I know it's like very different, but I think it kind of works the same where it
is
needs...
Is that considered an Omac? Like the Scarab?
The Scarab is not, but the villain at the end of Blue Beetle is an Omac.
Oh, right. The movie.
Red Blue Beetle.
Yeah.
Remember that? But that's an Omac. But I think it works the same way. Like it needs like a host, and there's a bunch of innocent people inside of these Omacs, so they can't just like slice their head off, you know?
Yeah.
So I think it's kind of interesting. But issue 3, old Superman goes to Batman for his help enacting his plan. In Texas, Jaime Reyes almost gets crushed by a skyscraper, but it's saved by Superman, and then he finds the Scarab on the ground.
Yeah, this ties into the Blue Beetle book we read.
Kind of. Was that a New 52 book?
No. No, that one was like the first appearance of... Or not the first appearance,
first
but like...
solo series.
The first solo series.
Man.
Because like...
What a disconnect it feels like.
There's a bit where like it jumps in between issues because this happened. And he hardly seems important, but it was like...
There's a skyscraper falling on him and...
No. It was just like... Like the story was going on and then there's like a little note like, oh, he went to go... Crisis on Infinite Earths.
Oh, go
Infinite
in space Crisis, or whatever.
And then he comes back. Yeah.
Okay. That's funny. Wonder Woman on Themyscira decides that they can't kill the Omax with all the innocent people inside. So the Amazonians use Athena to just transport all of Themyscira like away and only leaves Wonder Woman there on Earth. But like, where do they go? Can they just do that anytime? How often can they do that?
What are you talking about?
When Themyscira just disappears.
Oh, I thought it was always invisible.
I don't think it goes invisible. I think they like leave.
No, it's like,
this Athena person shows up from the heavens or whatever. And then Wonder Woman's like, all right, later. And then like the whole island, it looks like kind of gets covered in like some shiny thing and then it just disappears. Or maybe it goes underwater. I don't really know, but
I should have to ask.
It's not there anymore. And we never find out where it goes. If it does get teleported somewhere, I'm not sure. There's a part where Lex Luthor is doing some devious work in the background of all the shit going on, and he's trying to wipe everybody's minds with a machine that he has, but he needs specific prisoners to power it, like the powers of Shazam. And so he dupes Black Adam into getting stuck into his tower. But then he runs into another version of Lex Luthor, and then we find out that the one that we were just watching was actually Alexander Luthor, Lex Luthor's son from some other universe. And then we see Batman decides to not side with old Superman. And then old Superman gets angry and leaves. But I like this interaction between old Superman and Batman. Because he's kind of like preying on his sadness about how things have gone in his life. And he's like, we can make it all happy again like it was in the good old days. And you kind of sympathize with Superman wanting to give humanity like a positive existence. But then you start to see the cracks in his morals in like this situation. because Batman doesn't want to do it, and then old Superman gets like super mad.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's interesting. Power Girl stumbles onto Alexander Luthor's plan, which is to build an anti-monitor powered device to replace all of the people on this original Earth. And it has this universe's heroes strapped into it.
Did you notice this? His eyes are kind of derpy.
Oh, I guess. Yeah, I didn't notice that at first. No,
really? I couldn't stop.
There's other panels that I like took note of, and I'm like, he looks very old and wrinkly and melting.
Yeah, like a lot of people just look like shockingly older, you know? Yeah. It's just like, I don't know, maybe the artist made him just look old and wrinkly or whatever.
Yeah.
But not even on purpose.
Yeah, so Alexander Luthor is building a big tower that has the anti-monitor like strapped to it to power it or something to replace the original Earth that he was a part of. And it has this universe's heroes strapped to it. So it has like Martian Manhunter and stuff. And then Power Girl is knocked out by Superboy to keep it all quiet.
I feel like they could have had a more creative design for this tower thing.
This tower looks fucking crazy.
Like it just looks ridiculous.
It's so incredibly like Jack Kirby, you know?
Yeah.
And so I kind of like it for that reason. But I don't really know. I don't know. I was like, there's so many details on this thing that it's just kind of funny to look at.
Did you mention Detective Chimp, Nathan?
I think he's in the next issue. I think you're still in issue 4.
No, Nathan.
No, he's not in this issue, Daniel. We're about to go to issue 4.
Are you? No, because it's the same page as 72. Page 72, Nathan.
Oh, you're way behind then.
Yeah. See, you're moving too fast.
I am moving too fast. Yeah.
So that's the best part of the book right there.
Yeah. Sweet Detective Chimp appearance.
Uh-huh.
He's with a bunch of like people I've never heard of. Nightshade. I mean, I've heard of Ragman, I guess. There's the old like enchantress there.
There's like a blue devil guy or something.
I think his name is actually Blue Devil.
Yeah. Yeah.
So many people.
Yeah. I like looked him up. It's like a weird name that they call themselves.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Big Storm in Space.
The Croatone Society.
That's what they're called?
Yeah.
They need a better name.
Yeah, yeah. I don't like it.
We should read a Detective Chimp book. There's supposed to be like one pretty good one.
I looked into it. It's pretty long. But
it is long, but we could read less of that.
That's true, yeah. I have an issue with the Superman of this Earth, I think.
Okay.
There's like a building that like falls down, and he just holds it up by like the glass.
Yeah.
I'm like, wait a goddamn minute.
This must be really strong glass.
Yeah. I was like, I guess it is cracking, but that makes it even worse.
Yeah, I know. It's like the structural integrity of this thing is clearly faltered.
Yeah. You know what we don't get a lot of, Nathan?
Explanation.
Just in like the comics that we read, at least.
What?
Is like Lex Luthor and his like suit.
Yeah, dude. I was noticing that.
His super suit. I'm
Bring
like,
it oh, back.
I'm like, this is fucking dope.
Give me like Injustice Lex Luthor, you know?
I feel like I see like his like toys of him in that more than him in that in comics.
100%. I love seeing this Lex Luthor.
It's so dope. In
a big suit, but his head's still out.
Do you remember in Rebirth when there's like a Superman Lex Luthor and he actually had like the Superman logo and he was like blue and like silver?
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty cool. I didn't read it, but it looked cool.
Yeah. Was that the beginning of Rebirth?
It had to be Rebirth.
That's funny.
Because I remembered it.
Yeah, give me more mech Luthor, you know?
Yeah. So they're trying to bring back Earth 2 or whatever, and it'll probably kill everybody when they do that.
It will replace them, which like depending on your... it like replaces them with the doppelgangers from the other universes.
Sounds like murder, Nathan.
It's pretty much murder.
Someone's no longer existing.
It's like murder. If someone else goes into your soul, are you dead? I would say so.
Nathan, if you replace every part on a car, is it still the same car?
There's a different metaphor for it with like replacing every board of a pirate ship or of a ship.
Yeah.
Yeah. Same thing. The answer is no, but I think that's like a philosophical kind of question.
I think that's beauty in the eye of the beholder kind of thing, you know?
Yeah.
And they capture Martian Manhunter.
Yeah, they do. Poor guy. Who else is in here? There's a
Black
Captain
Adam.
Black Adam. Yeah, there's a Captain Adam from like a different universe, I think. And then there's the Ray. I can't remember. Daniel, next issue. Fucking Bloodhaven gets blown up by a guy named Chemo, who's just a big green man that blows up when he hits the ground. And he says oop when he hits the ground, which I think is really funny.
What is that?
His name is Chemo.
Okay.
I think he's just a big radiation bomb thing.
It's not like Glob?
It's not Glob. How dare you? Glob.
Glob what?
From the X-Men?
Yeah.
I got to look it up now. Right. He's my favorite X-Men.
Because he looks a little bit like Glob.
Glob Herman.
Herman.
Yeah.
Of course.
Yeah, he does kind of look like Glob, but an evil version. Yeah, so the Villain Society or whatever drops chemo on there to create a big fart. Big radiation cloud thing that takes over Bloodhaven as like a distraction, pretty much. But what we also see is Alex Luthor explaining how he is responsible for the Spectre acting crazy because he uses Psychopirate to make the Spectre cause a war on magic. Why? Because magic would have probably been the best way to stop him. And so I guess now magic's in like a weird state at this point.
Isn't like magic like one of Superman's like weaknesses kind of thing? Or
people say that.
Not like a weakness, but he can't like stop it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
People say that. And I'm like, obviously, you know?
Yeah, because he's just like...
But I think it's like in the sense that no one can really be that much stronger than Superman, but he's definitely like more susceptible to like magic-based people.
Yeah, because how do you punch magic?
Yeah, exactly. You can't punch your way out of that.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, magic's in like a weak state right now. There's some like more chaotic magic, I guess, like Zatanna type shit, but not like Shazam type shit.
You know, I wouldn't think like...
I'll just use
where the magician's at, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
They solve everything.
Like, yeah.
I don't think there's ever been like a magician or whatever that like came to the rescue. I'm like, oh, good ending, you know?
Yeah, thank God Zatanna was there.
Yeah, you know? Fucking
Dr. Fate.
Zatara or whatever.
Zatara's the dad of Zatanna.
And also like
Shazam. I've never thought of Shazam as like a magic user.
Or like fucking just like Raven, you know?
Yeah, she does magic.
Anyway,
that's all I can think of.
But Superboy fights Superboy, Nathan.
Yeah, hold on. We see Alex Luthor. He says that he gave Brother Eye the thing in space, sentient life, and the ability to control Omax. So that's why that's a thing. And then he sent Superboy to move shit around space. So that's why space is all weird right now, because he's making room for their perfect Earth. Daniel, go to page 98 real quick. And just, did you die at this like huge exposition page? I was kind of tired and I turned the page and I was like, it's time for bed, you know? It was just him explaining.
I was reading it panel to panel, I think, and I was just like...
Yeah, like, it's lengthy because it is so much dialogue, but it's pretty much explaining why all the shit is hitting the fan in the way that it is.
It took like an hour to read like every issue, it feels like.
It takes a long time.
Because like I read this over like... weeks of lunch breaks, you know?
Yeah.
Which I'm not moving very fast, but like still, it took like a minute. It felt like there were no issue breaks, you know? No.
Yeah. I mean, like maybe at the very end, there's like some action that you could skim through, but like it's a lot of lead up to get to that point to where you'd be like, okay, I understand everything that's happening and why.
You know? I guess I appreciate it, you know, because it's not fun going back to old comics just to like understand the current ones. So I guess the explanation's kind of nice or whatever.
It is.
But it is like a lot, you know, and I guess like you don't want like an event that's almost like it feels like nothing really happened.
Yeah.
You know, which this kind of feels like, but like there's a lot of stuff happening, a lot of characters involved and whatnot.
I disagree that at the end of this, it didn't feel like nothing happened.
I didn't say nothing, but it didn't feel like a lot happened.
That's fair.
Like when
they shoehorn some shit, like right at the end there, like right before the finish line, they're like, oh. Different Flash now. Later. You know?
Like, so I read this like a month ago, right? So I'm just kind of refreshing myself with my notes and stuff. And I can only remember like one important part.
Of like each issue?
No, like the whole thing.
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
Yeah.
So Alex Luthor had convinced old Superman that old Lois would die unless Earth 2 comes back. Don't know how he did that because that's absurd.
Because that's like what her...
That's where
life is like connected to or something. And maybe it's like I thought it was like a radiation kind of thing. Or
could
like
be that too. I don't know.
Or the sun isn't as good. I don't know why that'd affect Lois.
It wouldn't. Superboy Prime and regular Superboy fight. And that's pretty cool. And it's not going very well for him. But then Daniel, the Titans come in. The 1,000 member Titans.
Yeah, what the hell?
Why are there so many goddamn Titans?
Teen Titans recruiting's going crazy.
Teen Titans army. This is the fucking... high school. Well, like this is a whole high school.
It just says Titans, you know.
Is that ever, like what does that mean? So, is Detective Chimp a part of this?
Who's the big one?
I don't know.
Who's that robot?
I don't know. I couldn't tell you most of these
people. Stargirl is in it. That's cool.
Yeah.
Because like I feel like Titans just kind of opens it up. You know, yeah. Teen Titans always like six or seven.
There's some weird picks in here. I actually can't name a single person outside of the normal Titans, like besides Stargirl.
Is there like a red monkey guy?
Well, there's like, what's this dude's name? Wildcat?
Wildcat's in there. That's cool.
Maybe he's helping. Some weird picks in here, though.
A few things before that.
Yeah, yeah.
Booster's trying to get the Scarab.
Yeah. I like didn't write that down because I was like, that just comes into play later.
I only wrote it down because I'm like, why is he important to this? To where like...
Jaime Reyes?
Yeah, Jaime Reyes.
Yeah. He's to not where, ultimately the Scarab is.
I guess not. He's like a very small part that was needed that wasn't in like a... In the history books that Booster knows about.
Yeah.
So that's why he's trying to find it, because he needs it.
Mm-hmm. But it's a very weird way to introduce a character. Like, remember that guy that was in the middle of everything that was happening?
Yeah. And he's only there because he happened to find the thing that we needed.
Yeah.
And it connected itself
to him. He had a thing inside of him that took you to another thing?
Yeah.
Remember that guy? Well, he's got a book now.
But... Oh, and Crypto is in it, and he bites Superboy Prime. That was pretty cool.
Yeah, dude, Superboy fucking flings him. Crypto does a yip, and that doesn't feel good. That's how you know this guy's bad. No, he doesn't die. It's not a bad book.
I know, but still. Dude, okay. Going back to the news.
Mm-hmm.
Over under. Does a dog die in Man's Best?
Ooh. Yes.
You think so?
Ooh,
so bad book?
Ah, fuck.
If it's a book all about dogs.
And it's called Man's Best.
Yeah.
But it seems kind of like a cute book. But then does that make it hurt even more
if
they do kill a dog?
Possibly.
I think dog dies, but I have faith in that team to...
Not?
To kill a dog. Oh, to make it tasteful? But like make it an exception to our rule. Kind of like how...
No exceptions.
Afterlife with Archie.
One exception.
Yeah, see, we have the one exception. There's room for one more, maybe. We'll have to see. I don't know. It could be a bad book, and I'll have to say that to their face.
If we're able to interview them, I'm asking that.
Yeah.
I'm like, okay, yes or no?
Does the dog die?
You need to tell me.
Because I can't start. Because we will tell
all of our listeners bad book right now.
We'll have to tell them about that rule.
Yeah.
And then ask them if their book is good.
Is this a good book?
Based off of those stipulations, is your book good? See what they say.
Anyway.
So the Titans come in to help, but regular Superboy or Superboy Prime accidentally kills a Titan, like within the chaos. He like backhands someone, their head fucking pops.
Yeah,
dude. And then he blames this Earth and he's like, you guys are just trying to fucking stop me from doing something cool. And then he starts killing more people out of frustration. And then Superboy gets like thrown.
Ripping arms off and shit.
Yeah, he's ripping people's arms off. He's just like, this is all your fault. Everybody, it's your fault. So I'm gonna rip your arm off. And then Superboy Prime gets thrown into the Speed Force, I think. And so that's why he's gone for a little bit, the next couple issues.
Yeah, like, it's like Wally West, Barry Allen, and Bart? Jay Garrick.
And Bart Allen?
I only see three, but, you know, I don't really know who it is.
Impulse? Or no, that's Kid Flash,
they I think. All run with, like, Superboy Prime,
yeah,
and
yeah,
I
yeah.
guess just trap him in the Speed Force or whatever. Yeah.
So he is gone for like two issues, but to him it's like 100 years or something. Probably. Psycho Pirate forces Black Adam to use his magic to power the tower thing, and then that tower creates an Earth 2, and then we see some heroes teleport to that Earth, and that's how the issue ends. So we now got two Earths, Daniel. And I really, really like this double page spread where like the universe is kind of getting ripped open and we see the hands of like Alexander Luther kind of like creating space for him to throw in that Earth 2. It's fucking awesome.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Yeah, it's probably like my favorite spread of this thing because we get a sweet red tornado in the corner there.
Yeah.
And I'm like, yeah, that guy's, he could go in space if he wanted to.
It makes you biased, Nathan.
It doesn't. I think also there's like a weird version of Green Lantern in here, like a Kyle Rayner version where he's like Ion, but I'm not sure. So there's like weird Green Lantern shit that I don't even know about. So it's pretty fun.
So I kept thinking about like astronomy.
Okay.
During this, you know, because they put like an Earth directly right next to the Earth 1.
Yeah.
You know, which seems terrifying. Like seeing that, looking up and seeing just another Earth.
I would kill myself with a gun.
Yeah. Like, they're not even like the Earths are maybe like 1,000 miles away from each other.
They're so close.
You know, like
they mention gravity for like 2 seconds and they explain why that doesn't matter. And I'm like, okay.
Like, I guess they would just be in the same like gravitational pull from like the sun and be going the same direction and whatnot.
Yes, they would act as kind of like one entity almost,
right? But just very close together.
But they would fucking fall into each other. Like, there's no shot that they stay 1,000 feet apart or 1,000 miles apart, you know, because Earth has a gravity. I'm not gonna get into it. They would.
No, I think you're wrong.
I'm not.
Have you taken astronomy in college?
No.
Well, I have.
Okay.
And I said no. Because, like,
these two Earths right next to each other.
Yep.
They're not being pulled into one another.
Never going to bonk.
No bonks?
No bonking.
Not even a little bonk.
No doinks. You know, you know how, like, in Secret Wars, spoilers for Secret Wars, how, like, the Ultimate Universe and, like, the normal universe, like,
yeah,
smash into each other?
Yeah, but it's really just two Earths that, like, smash into each other or something.
Do you know that, like, Deadpool is like right in the middle of like when they crash into each other, and that's how like he dies.
That's a great way to die. Because he gets
fucking obliterated between these two Earths.
That's what makes you think of Secret Wars.
No.
Or but, is
like,
it?
There's like the death of Deadpool, and it was like in his solo run. I think it was like issue 250 of his like run.
Wow.
Or like, okay. Not, of like all Deadpool stuff.
Oh, you know? Okay.
And that's the only thing that they can come up with that would make sense, that would actually kill him.
That's funny.
And I'm like, this is excellent.
Yeah, that's hilarious, actually.
But do I have anything else to say? The Speed Force is gone, I guess, maybe.
Yeah, I don't know how that works.
They said that.
They do say that. I don't know how that works. But
did I say that the Spectre is a guy?
The Spectre goes into a guy.
He's in a guy.
Why that guy? Who knows?
Don't know.
Don't even know who that guy is. But he just comes out later.
Is the Spectre even important? Or is he just used to, like, stop magic?
He was used to stop magic.
Okay.
And I don't think they really use him again. I never really understand what the Spectre's fucking doing when he shows up anywhere. At one point, Hal Jordan was Spectre as well, and I didn't understand that either.
He's kind of like God.
He's, like, supposed to be?
I think he's, like, the closest thing to God that they have.
He's, like... Like, not God,
like,
but
like capital, like, G, you know, like Christian God kind of thing.
He's like lowercase G God, I think.
Yeah, like comparatively, but like closest thing that they have.
Yeah. And I know he's big in like Kingdom Come, but really he's just like looking around, kind of like the Watcher, you know? And
yeah.
He's like, and then.
So he's like kind of a Watcher.
He's a thing when like Hal Jordan becomes Parallax and it's like, oh, I got to fight the Spectre real quick.
Kind of. You'll
like,
learn a bit more in 52. I know you're just a young man in the 52 world.
Yeah, I'm diving into the deep end this week for our stupid 200th episode.
I'm having a great time.
That's not going to make any sense, and I love it.
But no, he's sick in Kingdom Come. That's the only reason why I like him is because of that book.
He is cool in Kingdom Come.
Yeah,
but because he looks like Alex Ross art, that's why I like him. Has he ever had his own book?
Surely.
I don't care. Issue 5.
I'll look it up.
Old Superman super stoked that they have Earth 2 because this is how he saves Lois, but she also just like dies there anyway, and so that sucks. Booster Gold brings Jaime Reyes to Batman because he knows in the future that Batman uses the Scarab technology to find Brother Eye in space. So Booster Gold's like, let me just do this little shortcut for you.
I think there's like a double page spread with like a ton of people, right?
Yeah, this is a really good group shot.
Like, no way all these people are, like, important, right?
What do you mean?
Like, close your eyes, point to the screen.
Okay, I'll do this. Hold on, let me do this.
Okay. Close your eyes, point to the screen. Tell me if that person's important.
Ooh, I don't know who that is.
Exactly.
Oh, wait. We've seen this dude.
Who?
Who's this guy with the red? Have we seen him? He looks kind of familiar. I can't remember.
I don't know.
There's some weirdos in here, though. That's for sure.
Definitely. Oh, dude, there's a question in there.
Yep, questions in there. I just like looking at everybody and being like, I have no idea who these people are. And then just seeing like, oh, there's Metamorpho.
So some of... Oh, dude, Robot Man.
Is he in there?
Yeah, he's next to Hal Jordan to the left.
Oh, cool.
He's like a very thin...
He's like handsome robot man.
Yeah. Handsome Squidward robot.
I'm surprised man. Doom Patrol are in this and like...
Doom Patrol should be in every...
They should be in every big DC thing and be like, what the fuck is happening here? And it's like kind of normal to them, you know?
They should be in every book like...
Ever.
Like World's Finest, you know? Just like... They just have to have a cameo and everything.
Yeah. That would be cool.
The Spectre, John Ostrander and Tom Mandrake.
That sounds right.
Had a run in 1992.
So that was before Kingdom Come, I want to say.
And then he also had a run in 1967. Oof. Gardner Francis Fox, no, Murphy Anderson.
No, thank you.
But yeah, he's definitely had... Oh, there's a Dennis O'Neill issue.
Okay.
But yeah, pretty cool. 4.5 stars, 115 reviews for that John Ostrander one.
Yeah, he's supposed to be pretty good at stuff. I don't think I've ever read a John Ostrander book, but I know he like created the Suicide Squad and yeah. He like has done
but like we never gone that whole...
But yeah, I've never gone that far back. So
dude, we're almost at like 200 episodes. I feel like we haven't scratched the surface.
Dude, we're not even fucking close. We haven't done a Wolverine book.
Yes, we have.
We did Old Man Logan.
Yeah.
Okay, whatever.
Wolverine.
We haven't done an Iron Man book.
I know. I try to get you to do that.
Is that stupid?
Dude, like...
We're never going to do it.
2024 should just be the year of like... I can't believe we haven't gotten to this yet.
Honestly, it should be.
Okay, good. Because like that's all I think about, I feel like.
I think about it. I'm like, fuck, we never fucking did...
I'm like, we never did like DKR and like The Killing Joke, shit like that, you know?
I guess we should do those.
Like classics, you know?
There are some classics we've never even touched. Like an Animal Man.
We did Animal Man.
But like the older one.
The real one.
Grant Morrison one.
That's getting into like, it's just old.
Yeah, but there's some that are like great, but they're like old. I don't know. We can talk about it later. But we should probably do one Iron Man before 300.
Didn't Matt Fraction have a run?
Yeah.
Let's do that one.
Okay.
Because that's the only one I can really think of, other than like the Bendis one, I guess.
We like just did Hulk. Isn't that crazy? We didn't do Hulk before.
For like October. Yeah. Anyway.
Earth 1 Superman hears Earth 2 Superman cry out, and then he goes to help on Earth 2. But then old Superman thinks that this Superman is spreading corruption, and then they fight. But then Wonder Woman has a nice spiritual conversation with Earth 2 old Wonder Woman about the strength of humanity, and then she helps Superman contain Earth 2 Superman. And there's a really great homage to Action Comics number 1.
Yeah, dude.
And I fucking love that page.
Because
he uses that weird green car to smash our Superman. And I think it's so fun. So I like that shit. It's yeah.
Yeah, it's awesome.
And then...
There's no pollution on the new Earth, Nathan.
Yeah, they go on the new Earth and they're like, wow, oxygen levels are great.
Yeah.
So... Alex Luthor keeps continuing with his plan, and he wants to create thousands of worlds so that he can sift through all of them and then combine them into one perfect Earth of his creation, which was his plan all along, but he needed to fool Superman and keep him alive because he's the key to creating more parallel Earths with that like same tower, I guess. And then Superboy fights his way out of the Speed Force, and he's like, I'm back now and I got a cool suit.
And oh yeah, suit's awesome.
That's everything that happens this issue. But there is, so he successfully creates like, you know, hundreds more parallel Earths.
And this is the only thing I think of when I think of Infinite Crisis, is like all these Earths.
I know, they're so like nicely. No, this is what I think of. This is maybe the scariest thing I've ever seen in a comic book. And it's this shot of the Titan's Tower, but in the...
Oh no, that one. That's what I meant.
This is a fucking scary... this is when I would kill myself with a gun.
You've killed yourself already.
Dude, I know. Can't do it again. And I want to do it again because this would freak me the fuck out.
Okay, think about it.
There's so many Earths.
So many Earths. Did Lois die?
Lois died.
Yeah, because, she died anyway.
Because why would you think that would work? And then there's a cool line where...
He's a big smart guy.
Where Alex Luthor is like, I need the Superman open because everything starts with Superman. And I think that's kind of a cool line and a cool plot point because like superheroes started with Superman in Action Comics pretty much.
Yeah.
And I think it's cool to think that he is like the linchpin that like starts the reality of like all superhero dumb, you know? And I think it's kind of fun.
Mm-hmm.
Issue 6, Daniel.
Hold on.
Wait, actually, before we move on, there's an Earth that is a cube. Did you see that?
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Keystone City like just disappears.
Yeah. I don't know why.
Okay. I wasn't completely sure if that was a correct statement. I just said it.
Oh, this is the panel of old Superman that makes him look very wrinkly all over. And I think it's very fun.
Yeah. Then he said something about like, because this is happening and like the gravitational pull of it or whatever, like all the volcanoes on the earth are like just erupting right now.
Yeah.
Which is a scary thought.
That would scare me.
Yeah. Dude, Yellowstone.
I would shoot myself with a gun.
We're not even like near like a volcano. I'd be like,
no. We wouldn't be affected where we are. And I'm like, this is scary.
Yeah. All right. Now, issue six.
Issue six. Batman creates a team that goes into space and they use the new Blue Beetle's scarab inside of his child body to find Brother Eye, which is that space station again that controls all the OMACs.
But it can Brother hide itself Eye, or something.
Yeah, and it could go invisible for some fucking reason.
But why only the Scarab can find it for some reason.
Yeah, well, the Scarab knows alien technology pretty good.
Is Brother Eye alien technology?
No, but
Batman made him,
but
right?
Brother Eye retaliates with some OMACs, and they're like, you're not going to touch me. I'm going to send you some OMACs. Earth 2 Superman realizes he made a mistake, obviously, and explains that if the universe keeps getting divided into thousands of Earths, it'll all collapse and destroy everything and create a new Big Bang. But Alex is like, I'm going to create some more Earths. And he keeps weaving through multiple Earths to place a couple, like little parts of them into his perfect Earth. And we see maybe the double page spread that is the most obnoxious thing to look at in the world, maybe. And it's this one. Because what is that?
Yeah.
I saw this and I...
Dude, imagine that as a puzzle.
None of it would make any sense whatsoever. Yeah. It's so overwhelming to see. Like,
it's just showing all the different like Earths that are around. Like, there's like a Western Earth and like other stuff.
Like, can you imagine showing this to like a Renaissance artist and being like, what do you think is happening here? They'd explode. It's crazy.
Guy Gardner is a Yankees fan and he's got season tickets.
That's nice.
Yep. I thought that was funny.
I like weaving in the most random character like things.
Yeah. It's like they're on like the Blue Beetle like ship or whatever. And they're doing the most outrageous thing for the most outrageous reason. And they're thinking about baseball.
Yeah. I like how in his head, he's like, I'm like, these games are going to continue. Whatever happens here, I'm going to a Yankees game.
Yeah.
If it's on the new Earth or what, hopefully the tickets transfer, but I'm going to a Yankees game. Or it'll be like Booster Gold likes to fish or something like that. It'll be like some great, the universe is collapsing and he's like, man, I hope I catch a big one.
Yeah.
And the Titans make it to the Fortress of Solitude that the tower thing is at and where Alex Luthor is operating out of. And they try to free the heroes. And then Batman's team in space crash lands on a Brother Eye to hopefully break it. The Titans team distracts Alex Luthor and they free the tower people, including Black Adam. And Black Adam immediately kills Psycho Pirate with two fingers, which is pretty cool. Remember that?
Oh, yeah. That's a good one. He makes like his mask go through the back of his head.
Oh, that is what happens. I was like, how did that happen? But yeah, he just like pushes his two fingers through his eye holes. And yeah, burst out the back.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty hardcore. I think Black Adam was kind of sick, like in this era.
Yeah, no, he's definitely, the violence is kicked up a notch.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, that was a pretty cool scene.
Do you realize that like magic in the DC universe is just people saying words backwards?
No, that's only Zatanna.
Okay.
Like Dr. Fate's not doing that, you know? But that's how Zatanna does things with magic.
Okay, okay.
So at one point she says Spectre appear backwards and then that thing just like happens. Superboy Prime then shows up and starts to single-handedly fight everyone. And then he almost kills Nightwing, but then Earth 1 Superboy comes in and they have like a little rematch fight. Then Batman and Mr. Terrific destroy Brother Eye, which deactivates the OMACs. So now there's no more OMACs, which is good. And then the fight between the two Superboys causes them to crash into the big tower that's creating all the different Earths. Which like sucks all of the Earths into one new Earth again, but doing this kills our Superboy.
Boo.
Which sucks. We don't like that. But it's kind of funny that they use Superboy again to condense all Earths into one Earth. Like that happened on Crisis on Infinite Earth. Superboy Prime is the only reason why there's still one Earth. And uh-huh. It's funny that this Superboy dies and creates one more Earth again.
Mm-hmm.
A little comes full circle, you know? And so that's issue 6. What do you have to say about that? Is that everything?
Good stuff.
Yeah.
Spectre, he's called by Zatanna.
Yep.
And he kills Star Sapphire. How's that make you feel?
I thought it was weird. I was like, why her?
Yeah, just also, singled her out.
Why did they need him again?
I don't know.
I couldn't tell you. But yeah, he just kind of single out Star Sapphire, but it's not Carol Ferris Starfire. Or Star Sapphire.
Is Carol Ferris Star Sapphire at some point?
Yeah.
Oh, spoilers, Nathan.
No. That's been a thing for years.
It's a spoiler for me, Nathan.
Yeah, I guess.
What about me?
Is this like... There's like an eye thing at the middle of Brother Eye, it seems like. Is that like something that's like powering him? Or is that like a hologram?
I don't know.
Who knows? Oh, there's... Actually, I want to talk about this page. There's a page where Brother Eye is like talking to Batman, trying to like talk him out of what he's doing.
Yeah, he's like, what's up, Dad?
A funny gimmick of Brother Eye is that whenever he says the letter I in it's conversation, like,
this is
it's E-Y-E for like Brother Eye. And I think that's just funny because that's a bit that only works in comics, you know?
Yeah.
But there's... this page where Brother Eye is trying to convince him not to destroy him, and there's a bunch of monitors behind Batman, but like, who set up those monitors and why would you do it like that? They're all overlapping each other.
That makes no sense.
Yeah.
Psycho Pirate is a little thirsty for Power Girl.
Yes.
Yeah. He's like, Alex promised you to me, and when this is over, I'll remind him of that.
What a dog.
Yeah. Gross.
Yeah.
Promise to you. Okay, so I learned something about Mr. Terrific. I guess he's invisible to technology.
I think I knew that at some point.
He can't be seen, heard, or recorded by machines.
Yes. How?
How?
Probably a T-sphere,
Daniel. He's just a guy.
He's a guy
I guess.
With good tech.
I'm like, is there something about him that...
No, I don't think it's like a meta-human thing about him.
Yeah. I saw this TikTok and it was like... someone at like Comic-Con, and this is black dude asking this other black dude, and he's like, can you name 5 black characters that don't have like lightning powers? And then he was like,
and, black characters that don't have lightning powers.
Yeah.
Mr. Terrific.
Yeah. So this one,
John Stewart.
Yeah.
We have Steel.
Okay.
Steel is black. Black Panther.
Mm-hmm, that was one of his answers.
And War Machine.
Is he black in all the comics? Is he black in comics?
I couldn't say for sure. So let me think of a different one.
I guess Rhodey is. Like, he was in that Captain Marvel book. That
I don't know if like War Machine's always been black, though.
Okay.
Nick Fury.
Nice.
He definitely hasn't always been
good
black.
Good job,
Nathan.
Yeah, because you think like...
There's
Static Shock, Black Lightning.
Or, yeah, there's a lot of electric black characters.
Miles Morales, you know.
Oh, dude, you're right.
Yeah.
Whoa. That's a Venom shock, though. But I guess it's still a shock.
I have a question for you. I don't think you'll know the answer because I don't have faith in you.
Hit me.
Who's this, like, space face Green Lantern?
So that's, like, Icon, I think.
Icon?
There's a weird version of Green Lantern that...
Isn't Icon like a character that's not a Green Lantern? I thought he was like a robot or something.
Ion. Sorry, not Icon.
Okay, thank you.
I was close. But there's like, I've never even read this part of Green Lantern because it just seemed like a little bit too much. But it's like a weird cosmic Green Lantern. And I don't even... I think in this book, he's like a weird parallel Earth Green Lantern.
Okay.
And so not like of our Earth, but then they mentioned that he's Kyle Rayner, and Kyle Rayner was Ion at some point, but I also think that John Stewart was.
Is he like Eternity or something?
He's kind of like that. Yeah.
Huh. I just saw that. I'm like, that's cool.
It's kind of a cool design though, isn't it?
Yeah.
I always like when...
He's my favorite Green Lantern now.
Cool. Kyle Rayner's mine as well.
You see him again, but...
Yeah, you do. But I always like when cosmic characters like... When they're shaded, the shaded parts of their face are just like space.
Yeah.
I love that shit.
It can get tedious if it's always like that, but like...
Yeah, I don't give a shit.
I'd prefer like a splash page where it's like that, you know, but...
Yeah.
Pretty cool. Next good issue. Question. Yeah.
The villains of this Earth are like, that's crazy. We're on a new Earth now. Let's go all attack Metropolis at the same time. So that's happening.
Nathan.
They're all in one little spot in Metropolis. And I'm like, this makes no sense. Because what is Dr. Sivana going to do in this situation? Like, he's a pretty big part of this double page spread. But he's just like looking evil. He's not even doing anything, you know? So I'm just like, what is his role here?
So is it... No, this hero isn't here. No, man.
There are heroes in here. You see Aquaman. But yeah, their idea is like, if Metropolis falls, the rest will fall because Superman will be sad or something. And I'm just like, that's dumb. But the two Supermen and the League fly in to help in Metropolis. So the two Supermen fight Doomsday, which is kind of cool.
Why does Doomsday have a ponytail, Nathan?
Oh my God, he does. Whoa, I didn't even see that. That's awesome.
What? No, it's not. Dude, it looks so fucking dumb. That's
so funny.
It doesn't make any sense.
He's never, ever, ever had a ponytail again after this.
I'm sure we've not scoured the Superman comics, and I'm sure this is a thing at some point. If there was another character that looked like Doomsday but had a ponytail, I'd be okay with it. But the fact that Doomsday has a ponytail, I'm upset.
Who drew Doomsday and was like, we need something more here?
Yeah. You know, there's not enough going on here.
And he has like a green hairband.
You know, he's some style.
What if he has a little bit more granola, you know?
Yeah.
Absurd.
Maybe it looked like he plays guitar.
At parties. He brings his acoustic guitar to parties.
Yeah. Or the bonfires.
Yeah. The Superman find Alex Luthor, and then Bart Allen Flash starts fighting Superboy Prime. There's like a shift in like Flashes at this point, because I think they were like, we don't want Wally or Barry, and so let's just do Bart, but he's too young, so let's make him old. And I think that's what they did here. But Superboy is fed up that the plan didn't work, and then he wants to be the only hero again, so he flies off to go destroy Oa as a starting point. Don't really know what that's going to do, because eventually you're going to have to just fight Earth if that's your plan. So Superboy Prime runs into a bunch of Green Lanterns. He kills a few of them. And then back on Earth, Alex Luthor is now powerless for some reason. So Batman finally has like the upper hand, and Batman's about to kill Alex Luthor with a gun. But Wonder Woman talks him out of making that mistake. But then the building that they're in just collapses on him anyway. So that's kind of a weird way to just write him out of this book for right now. But there's a really cool action scene in space with Superboy Prime and some Green Lanterns, and he does a move where he freezes them with freeze breath, and then he flies through them and smashes them into like a billion pieces. And I think that's a crazy combo.
Yeah,
so I like that.
That should be a fatality,
dude. That's such a good idea. It's a little bizarre that Batman picked up a gun there, you know?
Yeah.
And I'm like, okay,
I'm like, do it.
That would be kind of, yeah. But why did he lose his powers? The tower got blown up, but he built the tower, so that wasn't like the source of his power. His Earth's not there.
Did he even have powers? What was his power?
He had like blasts that he would do. He's pretty strong. He could fly.
Okay.
And it's just a weird way to kill him. So they kind of just like had to be like, oh my God, I'm running out of powers. But so the two Supermen, they catch up with Superboy Prime. And they all three fly through a red sun, which weakens all of them. And they crash land on Oa. And it's still a pretty tough fight, but Superman knocks out Superboy Prime, and then the lanterns trap him. But then Earth 2, old Superman, dies from the weakness that he got. So he's dead now. Now he's with old Lois. That's kind of nice.
Oa looks like a pool ball.
It always has, and that's what I like about it.
I feel like if you ever have
a house... Did you know Alan Moore created Oa?
Yes.
I think I told you that.
Yeah.
Anyway.
That's cool.
It does look like a pool ball.
Alan Moore walks so Geoff Johns could run.
Okay. Continue.
I retract that statement. As far as Green Lanterns go, yes.
Yeah, okay. Old Superman from Earth 2 dies, and that's pretty sad because he's like, at least I fixed it, I guess. But back on New Earth, a powerless Alex Luthor is killed by the Joker. So that happens.
Which is super dumb.
Which is dumb, but they planted this seed in the first issue because the Joker wasn't invited into like the villain group that they had because he's too crazy. So then Joker just kills him.
Yeah, with like his fucking like...
with acid and a shocker hand thing.
Yeah, like the handshake thing.
Yeah. And then the Trinity are like, man, that was crazy. I think I'm done being hero for a little bit. Because Superman doesn't have powers because he flew through a red sun. Wonder Woman is like, it's just not my vibe right now. And then Batman's like, it's just not my vibe right now. So the Trinity is alive, but they're not doing superhero stuff. But they're like, it's okay. The DC universe is in good hands. And then they show a big group shot because that's how they end every...
And this comes our favorite segment, Nathan.
Oh, no. Not right now?
No, I'm just kidding. I don't want to sit through you doing that.
I think I know a good portion of these guys, but fuck, there's a lot of people here.
There's Robot Man. That's all that matters.
Yeah, as long as he's here.
And then Elastic Woman.
There's Dr. Fate's helmet only. Do you see this?
Yeah.
So that's interesting.
You'll learn more about that.
There's like the demon.
Etrigan?
No. Like the Creeper.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. But he's like pretty front and center. So it's kind of interesting.
Yeah, he's definitely not the most important.
I want to know who like decides.
Anyway, yeah.
And then there's an epilogue. Superboy Prime is still alive, but he's inside of Oa, inside of a Red Sun, inside of a prison cell.
A Green Lantern prison cell.
A Green Lantern prison cell, and he carves the Superman symbol into his chest.
It's pretty fucking hard.
Which is pretty cool.
Yeah.
They should have done this in like the beginning, because I would have been like, this guy's fucking crazy.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's everything. What a crazy book, Daniel. It's funny because I feel like
it might be more exhausting to hear you describe it.
It is pretty exhausting. It's fun to just like read and be like, there's so much shit happening. I don't understand it. But like we have a 200 episode comic book podcast. We've been reading comics for years before. And I still only got like maybe 75% of this, you know, 80,
yeah,
80, 85.
So, like Big Two Comics is so hard to be on top of everything.
Mm-hmm.
You have to have like unlimited money to like read all the stuff and then have time to read all the stuff.
And like to truly understand it at such a deep level that you could produce something like this is bizarre.
Yeah. And so it's like, this is never what anyone had is in mind from the start. And then they're just building up to it for like however many years, you know, it's just you keep on building.
Yeah.
And it's so exhausting.
It is.
And that's why I like what we do. Just reading some trades one at a time.
Yeah.
And,
but it is kind of fun to just dive into the crazy continuity shit every once in a while. I just don't want to do it all the time because it is exhausting a little bit, but
I think these are kind of like a good way to kind of be updated, you know, kind of like,
that's a good point.
It can almost be like a summary of what's going on because there's normally going to be some glimpse of what's happening with different characters and stuff like that.
Yeah. Like if this came out and you hadn't read Crisis on Infinite Earths, but then you read this, you have a good idea of like what happened there.
I think you're going to learn quite a bit just from like reading events. Mm-hmm. If that's what you want to...
If you want to learn.
Yeah.
But typically if people want to learn, they just look it up.
Because you can't like, yeah, that. Or,
but that's not as fun.
No, that sucks.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Let's go into Back Matter Matters.
Is there... Back Matter Matters.
We got some sketch covers by Jim Lee himself. So that's pretty cool. I think there's a Jim Lee cover for every issue. And then there's a big old, big fat infinite... discussions interview that has like Phil Jimenez, who did a lot of the pencils for it, Jeff Johns, who wrote it, and this goes for pretty long. I read like the first two pages and it's like pretty fun about like how, why they decided to do it, because they wanted to do a sequel to Crisis on Infinite Earths, but like what the fuck does that even mean? So, but it goes on for many pages and it probably explains a lot of what's going on in this event in specific parts,
but fuck that.
But I didn't read it. But they know we got some George Perez pencils, I think.
Where?
Is that who this is?
There's a lot of like,
lot of,
you know, black and white panels. There's like, I think they talk about specific pages, so they like reference those.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of pencils, a lot of...
But mainly just like discussion of the whole
some
process.
Some headshots, which are cool.
They explain why like Nightwing was kind of important for like a little bit I just saw.
Wasn't Keith Giffen a part of this?
I think he's the one that technically created Blue Beetle, right?
Yeah, was he not at the beginning?
I think Jeff Johns is the only credited writer. It just says Jeff Johns writer. So maybe Blue Beetle was created in a thing that was in a countdown to Infinite Crisis?
Interesting. Yeah, maybe. I don't know. Maybe he was created for Infinite Crisis, but was created by Keith Giffen.
Infinite Crisis number 3.
First appearance?
First appearance. But it says created by Keith Giffen, John Rogers, Coley Hamner.
Yeah, I mean, I could be like, hey, I'm writing an event. Can you create a character for me?
That's absurd. And then he was created by Keith and Coley Hamner and made his first appearance. This was shortly after the death of the previous Blue Beetle, Death Cord.
Who was killed by Maxwell Lord.
Weird. That's the like craziest way to introduce a character.
In an event?
Yeah.
I mean, do you remember like Civil War II?
Of course. Yeah, there was that Inhuman that was created.
Ulysses or something?
Yeah, but he was like he was the reason that the event happened.
Was he created for that?
Yeah, and then he was never, ever, ever used again.
Was he used before that?
No, he was just for this. Just for that thing.
Exhibit A.
Which I thought was kind of an okay event.
Is that?
Yeah.
I think we were looking forward to it.
I was like, shit, I got to live through the Civil War?
Yeah, and then like as we were reading it week to week, we're like, wow, what's going to happen next, you know?
Yeah, and I was like, holy shit, Hulk ended, died. And I'm like,
nah, it's all right.
Yeah, like... I remember that event ended and I'm like, so the Guardians just like show up and that's the big thing that happened, you know? And it's like, it's just weird.
I hardly remember it. Good job, Nathan. What do you think about this book?
I think it's great. I actually do have kind of fun being like, I don't know what's happening.
I
need it in like such far. I need it like so few and far between, you know?
You know how like. You kind of look forward to watching a bad movie. We know yeah. It's a bad movie.
Yeah.
But you also find parts of it that you like, you know, or you find funny.
Yeah.
It's kind of how I feel about events. I don't think they're bad necessarily, but I just know that I don't look forward to them or like seek them out.
Yeah. I just think events are funny because it's just the most absurd thing you could possibly put in like a comic book because it's just so much.
Yeah.
Spanning so many different characters that like it's impossible to keep up. So many locations. But I like that it feels like every page you're like pulling like the slot machine and you're like, who knows what's going to pop up next? And it's like, oh, we're in the fucking space now.
Yeah.
And you turn the page and it's like, what's going to happen? And it's like, oh, you're in Atlantis, you know?
Yeah.
It's just funny. So how would you rate it?
I'm trying to think of like a dessert that I've seen like at a restaurant that's like so absurd that you like don't even order it because you're like, that's too much.
Oh, dude, you ever see those like milkshakes that have like an absurd amount of shit like on the top of it?
Yeah, shit like that.
That's what this is.
Where's that from?
Dude, I can't name a famous one, but there's one right next to my house. It's called like 123 ice cream or something like that.
Doesn't like Red Robin have some crazy like desserts? I can't remember.
Not that I remember. But this is like a milkshake that has like...
There's whole ass candy bar, dude, stabbed in it.
Oh, I have to. There's a milkshake over at a place right next to my house, and they have a hot Cheeto milkshake.
Ew, dude.
And this is that. It's kind of like hot garbage, you know? But it's like, no, it's better than that.
You know what, dude? This is a fucking like bacon sundae. You remember how there was like a year where they just put bacon on ice cream for some reason?
Yeah.
I tried that shit. I'm like,
this is ass.
No.
Yeah.
And this is an ass, but like, I guess in theory, it seems good, but you try it. I'm like, this isn't really for me, but I can see why people like it.
This is like a crazy banana split where there's like so much chocolate sauce. There's like sauce.
Three different drizzles on it.
Yeah.
You know,
caramel and shit.
Like, you can't parts even of it, see the ice cream.
Like, there's parts of it that you like and you're like, this dude, is cool.
This is like the fucking breakfast that like Buddy the Elf makes.
Dude, that's the best. Yeah.
With like the broken up Pop-Tarts and yeah, like on the like, spaghetti.
Fucking like gummy worms and shit. That's how I feel too.
Like, that's when I rate this shit.
When he first eats it and he's like, that's how I felt. It's like, he's like, I love spaghetti, and he like pours syrup on it. Like,
yeah,
that is what this feels like.
Okay, good, you good?
Because there's parts of it that like would taste kind of good, maybe, and then it's like, why are there Pop-Tarts in here?
Yeah,
so I like that rating.
Alrighty,
so let's go into the pull list. Colin,
shove in your box.
The pull list. What did you shove in your box?
Did you go today?
I did.
Let's hear it.
Good week. Transformers 4. Transformers? Green Lantern 9.
Why did they call the 4 Transformers that?
I would have seen it. I think if they named it that, I'm like, that's a good name.
Yeah. I think Rise of the Beasts or whatever, or like that dinosaur, Age of Extinction would have been the fourth one.
If they name the next one Transfimers, I will go see it.
I think that's the Rise of the Beast one with like the Optimus Primal. I think that was the fifth one.
Is that the fifth one?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think you're right, actually.
So
that's Transfimers?
Yeah.
They didn't name it that, so I won't see it. I picked up Green Lantern number 9 or 8. I can't remember which one it was.
All right.
Fish Flies number 4.
That's still coming out.
Fish Floors. Fish Flies number 4. Yes, it's still coming out. I'm still 2 behind. But
how many issues is it going to be?
I don't know.
There it is.
And then Dano, I picked up Ultimate Spider-Man number 1.
By Jonathan Hickman.
By our boy Hickman. He sells me a fucking every single time.
We haven't even read anything by Hickman, have we? Oh, FF.
FF.
No. Yeah.
That was Hickman, wasn't it?
Yeah.
I think there's one more thing, isn't there?
Nah.
Was Illuminati? Or was that Bendis?
That was Bendis, I thought. Huh?
So yeah, and Daniel, I squeezed in a read of Ultimate Spider-Man number 1 by Ooh. Hickman and Chichetto.
That's why you're late, huh?
That's a little bit, I'm late because I forgot that I had to feed Kilala, and I was like, okay, I'm like good. I could just like read this real quick and be there a little bit early. And then I finished reading it, I was about to leave, and I mean,
we don't really have like a set time.
No, we don't, but like,
you just kind of get here.
I try and get here, I try and leave before 6, but that doesn't happen all the time. So yeah, I read it, and Daniel Hickman, this is the best book that he's done since Secret Wars, I think.
Whoa.
I am so stoked for what's going to happen. And Spider-Man's not even in this fucking issue.
Ultimate Spider-Man number 1.
And he's not even fucking in it. And I was like, this was so good. I'm actually so jazzed about it because it's not insane and absurd and fucking lunacy.
That's cool.
I feel like he really understands like the characters around Spider-Man.
Yeah.
You know, so can I like...
No.
I can't say anything? Well, I won't. But I'll say that like he really gets it. J. Jonah Jameson
it's already a glowing like endorsement, you know?
Yeah. I like the... Like I even liked some of his X-Men.
Hickman's not Hickmaning right now.
He's not Hickmaning. I understood every word.
Yeah.
And he makes me excited for not only the future of like this Spider-Man, but also the future of just the other Ultimate titles.
Wow.
Like he was able to sort of like weave that in and be like, drop like a little tidbit of like, there's maybe something coming like down the line, but you know, this shit's happening.
Did you read?
And Marco Cicchetto, Daniel?
Did you read Ultimate Universe?
Yeah. Not all of it.
Okay.
Or yeah, no, there's just the one.
Right? Did Marco Cicchetto like absolutely eat?
Dude, he left no crumbs.
Oh man.
It's crazy.
I bet.
And
did he do
Peter
that cover?
Parker's a fucking daddy. Yeah. I got the Spider-Man 2099 cover. It's sick.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah, the Parkers have a family, and Peter's a daddy, and he's got like a beard, and he looks gorgeous.
Is it like Mayday? Or is that
May Parker is in it? And then there's a son as well. I can't remember what his name is.
Oh. But
yeah, it does great. MJ. That's not a spoiler because that was like one of the covers. But yeah, he fucking nails it. And I'm really excited to see.
I don't know the state of like Spider-Man ever. And so like, I could like pick up like any Spider-Man book and be like, okay, this is what's happening, you know? So
they do.
That would be much of like a spoiler, you know?
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
Where his family life is, you know?
Mm-hmm. But it's great. I like read it and I was like, I don't even need Spider-Man in this. This is just like kind of cool, you know?
Cool. So
there's a line. Actually, I won't say it, but good. There's a really good line and I'm like, damn, that's like, that goes pretty fucking hard. So
okay.
Anyway. Really good. I recommend you read it so we can talk about it.
Okay, maybe. A little busy at the moment.
Yeah, that's fair.
Did you watch anything?
I did. I watched Pokemon Concierge. Do you know what that is?
Is that... Yeah, it's on Netflix or something?
It's a Netflix original stop motion animation thing about Pokemon on an island resort.
Okay.
And it's 4 episodes. It's about 20 minutes each. It's like a very small thing, but it's awesome. Like it's like very cute.
Okay.
It really like leans into like the cute part of like Pokemon.
Okay.
And it's like about this girl that is having like a tough time at like her own life. And so she goes on like a vacation, or she accepts a job at like a resort, and the resort services people and Pokemon. So like if a Pokemon decides that he wants a massage or something, he can go get a massage. I don't really know like how they logistically, you know, make that work, but
I imagine like a Psyduck in there.
Dude, there is a Psyduck in there.
Yeah, yeah.
He's like one of the main Pokemon. And it's just awesome. Like it's just funny seeing how Pokemon like, just like live their life normally.
Is it like first gen Pokemon or like all of them?
It's like multiple gen, but there's a lot of first gen. Like you'll see, you know, Pikachu, Psyduck, Eevee, Magikarp.
You don't need to.
Bulbasaur. Yeah. They're like, but like the Pokemon look like plushies. Like, yeah, that's their style.
I like scroll past it.
I'm like, and I'm like, what a brilliant idea, because you don't know how much money they probably fucking make off of plushies. And this is just a great way to sell more, you know? But it makes it feel like your plushies like come into life at the same time. Like something about this like really worked for me. So I thought it was cool.
Seems random that like it'd be on Netflix.
Yeah. I don't know why that happened.
I was like, who owns
Pokemon? You know?
Yeah.
Because you can't even watch all of Pokemon, like the original series on Netflix. It's like on Hulu partly and then some
Yeah.
But it's great. I recommend it if you have, if you want something on in the background. I was building Legos while I was watching it. So.
Cool.
But it's great. And then I also watched Godzilla Minus One.
Ooh. Real quick before we get to that.
What did you pick up?
I watched, I'm going to get Transformers 4 and Ultimate Spider-Man.
Cool.
I watched a movie called Anatomy of a Fall.
Okay.
And it's like a French movie. It's like half in like English and like mostly in French though.
Okay.
It's like this family living in France or whatever, you know, parents and a son. Okay. And the father is like killed. Well, we don't know if he's dead. Okay.
Okay.
He falls off of a balcony, like working in the attic or something.
Okay.
Right. And his like son like finds him, but the son's like blind. Mm-hmm. So kind of he's like really the only witness in a way. Just a matter of like where he was and like where he landed and whatnot.
Okay.
And so it's like mostly this like court procedural thing.
Investigating how this dude fell?
Yeah, investigating how the dude fell and if the wife like killed him.
Mm.
You know? And so it's like too long.
Okay.
You know? Like
movie or series, it sounds like.
It's a movie.
Huh.
It was like in a lot of people's like top five lists. Mm. I don't think it's like a top five movie of the year, you know? So, but I watched it and it was pretty good. But like some of the scenes were like really long. I'm like, and because it's all in French,
makes it harder.
So much reading,
yeah,
you know, because like they're talking as if like they're trying to convict a murderer kind of thing.
Yeah, and lots to explain.
Yeah, so it just got like exhausting, like reading that much, you know.
Any big players acting in it?
No, cool. Just basically all French people.
Got it.
And then there was like there's a part with like a dog that really turned me off from the whole thing once that happened. So a dog didn't die, but a dog was like drugged, which I didn't like, but it,
so you're against this, that like, kind of thing, just to be clear.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
And
that's
so good. This dog was like an incredible actor. I don't know how they did this. I'm like, they must've drugged the dog.
Oh no.
You know?
Wow.
I'm like, but no, but what was kind of redeeming about it is that the dog was named first in like the credits. Like,
oh, that's
when
nice.
When I scrolled, I'm like, hell yeah, dude.
Oh, okay. What's his name? Like Buck?
I don't even know. Okay. But so that was like kind of a big turnoff, but yeah, it was okay. Don't recommend, honestly, but
okay.
So Godzilla Minus One, let's hear it.
Yeah, I watched it finally.
Where did you see it?
I saw it in a Harkins that doesn't have recliners, so that was a bit of a bummer, but I was in the front row.
Which one doesn't have recliners?
So Santan? I can avoid it.
Santan?
Sorry.
Is it
Superstition?
Oh yeah. Why were you at Superstition?
Because it had the movie time that I wanted. Because there's not a whole lot of.
Did you watch with Sophia?
I watched it with Sophia and my buddy Parker and Emily.
Okay.
Buddies. It's awesome.
Yeah. Is it
it's
sick?
Fucking so fun to watch. And it's probably the Godzilla movie, the most compelling, like normal person story.
Human story? Yeah.
Human story? Yeah. I don't know. Yeah. But it was like cool seeing Godzilla be like a villain, you know, because in most of ours he's kind of like the good guy in a way, but this one he's like his normal, you know, metaphor for the destruction of like war and shit.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just awesome. I like how he walks around like he's the man in the suit, you know?
Yeah.
Dude, that guy's thick.
He's a thick boy.
Godzilla is so fucking thick. And I have some gripes with it, but like, with the movie, but most of like...
What gripes?
Mainly the end.
Oh, yeah.
There's some shit at the end I'm like, really?
Spoilers.
Okay, spoilers.
Spoilers.
But the the good shit, real quick, the fucking Godzilla theme is so sick.
Yeah.
When he does a blast... So good. I was looking for that part that you told me and Serena about where it got really quiet and Dom was like, oh, I was like, that's a good time to grunt like that. Yeah, it's pretty cool.
Yeah.
But yeah, at the very, very, very end, because it's been out for forever, so I don't want to talk about it too long. But at the very, very end, the plan to kill Godzilla is fun and creative. I don't know how he would have gotten stuck when there's just one loop around him, you know?
Yeah, I don't know.
Because there's two boats that have the chemicals that'll bubble up and then it'll throw them all the way down. And the
pressure's supposed to kill him. He's got all those like little spikes, you know, and then it gets caught in the spikes.
Do you think he gets caught in spikes?
No, the chain or whatever that they wrap around him.
Oh, it gets caught in his spikes.
Yeah.
Okay. Sure. And then they're like, I think he's still alive, so let's bring him back up. And so they inflate the things to bring him back up, and then they hope that the rapid elevation will like fuck him up internally or whatever with the oxygen.
Mm-hmm.
But then he like gets stuck at some point, and then the people that weren't on the actual like civilian ship have like a bunch of little ships, and they're like, we're going to help you pull him out. And they all get rigged up to the two big boats. But that would take hours.
Yeah, yeah.
And I was like, the plan is to have Godzilla float up to the top really fast. So that the oxygen will fuck him up or whatever. And like the thing that they pulled off like would have taken hours, and so it just like wouldn't have worked. Also, they didn't think that he would try and bite the cushion, you know?
Oh, the inflatables like, or whatever.
Whatever. So that's fine. What I really think they shouldn't have done at the end is have the wife, not the wife, but the girl stay alive at the end.
She got fucking obliterated.
She got blasted.
The town behind him
was gone. She got blasted away and sucked back. Like, she got blasted to America, probably. That's how fucking far she flew. And then she's in the hospital, and she has, like, a little bandage over her eye.
Well, it's been, like, a little while.
I know it's been a little while, but you should have, like, you lost an arm or something, you know?
What do you think that thing on her neck was?
A scratch.
A black scratch?
Oh, yeah. That was... Yeah, I don't know what the fuck that is. I don't care.
Lady Godzilla.
Imagine. But other than that, really fucking solid movie. I really liked the part where the guy installed like an ejector seat in the plane so that he could actually save the guy because he forgives him.
So when he said that he had to pull something that arms the bomb.
Yeah.
I'm like, that's a fucking ejector seat right there. But there's another thing that actually was an ejector seat.
Yeah, there's like a little crank thing that is
an ejector
seat. But
it'd be cool if like that it was almost like a trick kind of thing to where, because now that the guy like...
Oh, has come to terms with sacrificing his life?
Yeah, yeah.
That would have been kind of cool.
Yeah. So that's what I was thinking.
But then he wouldn't have been prepared when he's like fucking flying up in the air.
Yeah. You know?
No. And so he would have just like fallen down.
So that was neat.
How is Godzilla standing that deep in the water?
I don't know.
Because he's definitely...
He's like dog paddling.
He must be. But he's
treading water.
It seems like he's standing because he's so still. But I really love just all the destruction of Godzilla. I like the grind set of that news team that was on top of the building. And they're like, holy shit, Godzilla's like right here, right in front of me. This is so dangerous right now. Oh, my God. Fucking
rock at him.
Yeah. They're like, he's right here. He's so dangerous. I'm going to die probably. I like that.
His like healing factor was stupid.
I think it was cool.
His face was like blown up or whatever.
That was a cool scene.
And then it was just right back.
Yeah.
I'm like, yeah, that scene fucking terrifying.
That was awesome. Because
it's just like right behind him. Like, he's going to get you.
Yeah, I know. And like the tension of like trying to let go of a fucking bomb that's like right next. Like, you're managing a bomb. You know, I feel like if you kick a bomb wrong, it'll explode. So I just thought that was a really creative scene. Like a lot of like really creative Godzilla scenes, you know? So I like that. And it was a good movie. Go check it out. Even though everybody has it in their mother at this point.
Did I send this to you?
No, but that's awesome.
Isn't that sweet?
Yeah. great movie. I recommend. Why was the lady that stole the child getting chased in the beginning?
Because she stole a child?
I don't think that was the reason. Because her parents died. And that was just like never a thing again.
I think I understood in the moment but I don't remember anymore.
I don't remember.
Because that was like a month ago.
Okay. Fair enough. Is that it?
Yeah.
All right. What are we reading next week, Daniel?
What are we gonna read next week?
Nathan, we're reading 52.
For 200.
All of it.
All goddamn 52.
All 52 issues, all 1,200 pages.
Is that how much it is?
Yep. So man, you better get fucking started. I'm surprised you haven't, dude.
I'm gonna grind it.
Yeah. That's why you wanted to push it to Sundays, because you probably won't finish.
Probably not.
I'm on issue like 33 right now.
Okay. It's pretty fun so far?
Yeah, I like it a lot. It's like not as bad as it seems.
Okay. Sweet.
So yeah, I'm having a good time. It's good stuff.
It will be good stuff. And we will see you there for one of our longer episodes.
Probably our longest episode, I would say.
It's two more issues than our issue 100 episode. So our episode 100 book. Because it was like 54. 54?
Yeah.
Are you sure?
Yeah.
Yeah, you're right.
So this one should be shorter.
More content.
It'll probably be like 4 hours.
Yeah, it'll be a long time. But so anyway, we'll see you there.
Good stuff. Thanks. Linktree in the bio. Tell us what your favorite event is at traderspod@gmail.com.
Yep. Give us a follow.
Give us a follow. Comment, like, subscribe.
Hug your loved ones. Just because.
And then give us 5 stars.
And then tell them to give us 5 stars.
All right. Goodbye.
Bye.